Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning. You're listening to CFRA Radio, and the show is Good News in the Morning. It's put on by Good News Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0, and nobody can remember that. So what you do is you Google Good News in the Morning, Good News Christian Ministries. Google one of those things. You'll find our webpage, all the info, great stuff. My name is George Sinclair. I am pastor at the Church of the Messiah here in Ottawa, and it is my great privilege this morning to be able to open the Bible with you and tell you about Jesus. And just before we do that, we're going to listen to a song. We're going to listen to Johnny Cash. But this show is supported by your prayer, then your prayer, then your prayer, then your prayer. So please pray for us. And as well as that, it's supported by listeners' donations. And if you have some money to help support this show, that would be great. I don't get paid. Nobody in the ministry gets paid for this. We just do it to talk about Jesus. And a shout out to Bruce Newman this morning, who's made a donation to make this show possible. And he wants to especially point towards Jericho Road, a really great ministry in the city that helps with the needy. Google Jericho Road to find out more about them. Our first song is Johnny Cash singing Amazing Grace.
Shining as the sun.
Good morning again. You're still listening to CFRA Radio, and the show is Good News in the Morning, put on by Good News Christian Ministries. My name is George St. Clair, pastor at Church of the Messiah here in Ottawa. Hopefully you have your Bibles if you're sitting down and not driving. And turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 10, verse 1. That's what we're going to start looking at this morning. But listen, here's the thing to sort of as we get going. A couple of months ago, I had the great honor to be in the Agora at the University of Ottawa. It's sort of like right in the center of the university center, lots of students passing by, and there's this great ministry called Church on Wednesday. And I got to speak on a passage in Colossians, which talked about wives and husbands, slaves and masters, you know, obviously talking about wives and slaves on the campus of the University of Ottawa, not the least bit controversial. Anyway, God was kind to me. There's a Q&A time afterwards, and somebody asked the question, why should we even trust the Bible? And I began my answer, because it was an open Q&A time, by saying, oh, that's easy. So this text that we're looking at today, hopefully I remember to do this, but I'll just touch on a little bit about this passage sort of points a little bit as to why the answer to that question, why should we trust the Bible, is easy. Here we go. Let's start reading. And it's Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them, that he's referring, Paul's writing this, he's Jewish, he used to be a persecutor of the Christian faith, he had become a Christian, but he still was Jewish, and he's talking about his Jewish brothers and sisters. So brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God, in other words, the way that God makes people right with himself, that's what it means, and seeking to establish their own way of making themselves right to God, they did not submit to God's way of making people right with himself. For Christ Jesus is the end of the law for righteousness, or for making people right with God, to everyone who believes. Now, here's the thing. I don't know if you noticed this, but Paul here says something, the Bible here says something which disagrees with 95% of Canadians. And once you realize that he's disagreeing with 95% of Canadians, you might feel a little bit offended. But I think if you look a little bit more carefully about this, you'll see that Paul is not necessarily, the Bible is not necessarily offending 95% of Canadians, that when we understand what he's saying, we probably agree with him. In fact, the Bible's bringing wisdom into something that 95% of Canadians commonly say. Paul is saying here that, well, here's what most Canadians believe, 95% of Canadians believe. It does not matter what you believe as long as you are sincere. It does not matter what you believe as long as you are sincere. And Paul here is saying that his Jewish brothers and sisters, people, and not only that, but people who try by their own efforts to make themselves right with God, whether it's a spiritual way or a Christian form of that or one of the other great religions, he's saying that they're sincere, they're committed, they are authentically committed to it. They're not being hypocrites. But that it's not based on knowledge, like it's not true and it's sort of useless. And so the Bible here is directly contradicting what 95% of Canadians believe, that it does not matter what you believe as long as you are sincere. But here's, I guess, what Paul would say, or the Bible would say to Canadians. It does not matter what you believe as long as you are sincere only applies to things that are not real and do not matter. Like the average Canadian, when they say it does not matter what you believe as long as you are sincere, that actually – if we think about it for a second, we only say that applies to things that are not real and do not matter. So, you know, that's why that if – I'm going to probably – I don't mean to offend anybody. I really don't. Okay, I'm a Canadian. I'm a Christian, but I'm a Canadian. I don't mean to offend anyone. But, you know, if you hear something about somebody who believes in some form of, you know, a patchwork thing of native spirituality, and to try to attack that would be seemed as really, really rude in Canada. But on the other hand, we don't really believe that it's really, really, really real. Like that if that person who believed in native spirituality or, you know, one of the Hindu creation stories, if they went to the biology faculty of the University of Ottawa and tried to say, this is what you have to teach because this is what really happened, then they would deny it. In fact, even if in the, you know, the fashionable bars or the Tim Hortons across the city, if somebody was to try to say that, you know, one of these creation, you know, these myth, you know, these stories from, you know, Hinduism or native spirituality, that they actually, that's actually an accurate, objective description of how things happened, then we would no longer say that it matters. That it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere, we'd push back at it. Or a very, very good example, if you're in a plane, an Air Canada plane, you're at 33,000 feet, you're getting close to your destination, they're going to start landing. And if the guy, the pilot on the radio, if he or she said, you know, listen, a person's knocked on the door to the pilot's room and they have told me that, you know, they've been dreaming and having visions while they're sitting in the seat and they have a sincere belief that even though they've never piloted a plane before in their entire life, that they can land this plane. And they have a very sincere belief about that. And so I'm going to come and I'm going to sit back with you folks. I'm trading seats and I'm going to let them land the plane. Well, if we – you know, at first we'd think it was – well, this is – you know, if it was WestJet, maybe we would just think they're trying to throw in a little bit of humor or something like that, you know. But if we actually – we might laugh. But then if we actually saw somebody get up and go and sit there and take the controls, we would – you know, what would we say? It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. A friend, that only applies to things that are not real and do not matter. That's the only thing those things apply to. And flying, landing a big jet at, from 33,000 feet, that's real and it sure does matter. And so you can't do it. So here's the thing. At first, it looks as if we disagree with the Bible's offending us. But you have to understand that Paul is making that big claim that the Bible – and robust, real Christianity is making big claims. When I pray at the end of this broadcast, I will pray. And when I pray, I simple-minded, literally, and I mean literal in the old literal sense, that I really believe that I am talking to a being, God, who really does exist, who really can hear my prayers and who can answer my prayers. Most of the time, thank goodness, he says no. Often he says not yet, but sometimes he says yes and he actually answers my prayer. If I pray for the Holy Spirit to fall on somebody, I believe there really is a being called the Holy Spirit who really does descend. Christians, robust Christianity, the Bible, believes that what it's talking about is real and it does matter. And that's actually part of the disagreement, I guess, between the Bible and robust Christianity, thick Christianity, and Canadian society. And that's why often Christians are in conflict over moral and social policy and even over scientific things, because robust Christianity believes it's real. So now that we've got that out of the way, Paul is now going to talk – we haven't got it out of the way. Maybe I've just opened a whole can of worms. But friends, that's what the Bible teaches. That's what Christians believe if they're real Christians, robust Christians, thick Christians. And so Paul is now going to go ahead and talk a little bit about three different wrong ways of looking at how to make yourself right with God. And he's going to describe very simply what God has done and what our response is going to be. So here, let's just keep reading verses 5 to 8. Actually, can I guess be for verses 5 to 10. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law. And here in this text here, just have to trust me on it, folks. But if you go all the way through the book of Romans and you try to figure out what they're talking about, righteousness here means how to be made right with God. We all have this basic concept of making things right. You know, if you have a complaint about your service at the restaurant, the manager comes and the manager tries to make things right. You know, it might involve telling off the employee. It might involve giving you a discount for your meal or giving you your meal for free or apologizing, whatever it is. But we have this understanding of making things right. And that's the image here behind righteousness, that Moses writes about how to make yourself right with God. that is based on the law. In other words, by what we do, by rules, okay, following rules and rituals, that the person who does the commandment shall live by them. I'm going to explain what that means in a moment. But the righteousness, in other words, the way of being made right with God based on faith, says, do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. It's a great, 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 great text. And some of you maybe are very, very familiar with it. So here's the thing. The Bible teaches here three counterintuitive truths that are taught by the Bible. Three counterintuitive truths taught by the Bible. I have to do them very briefly. One, briefly, all attempts to be right with God by rule-keeping or ritual performing fail. Second, all attempts to ascend to God to know him fail. Third, all attempts to descend to God to know him fail. Verse 5 is the first one. All attempts to be right with God by rule-keeping fail. For Moses writes about the attempt to be made right with God by us doing things that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. At first glance, it sounds as if Paul is saying that it works, but it's not happening. Remember, this is Romans chapter 10, verse 5. So that means there's been nine chapters before this. And earlier he shows that whatever the rules are, whether there are rules that you find in the Bible, whether they're the rules that you find from your church, whether they're the rules that you've made up for yourself, that if you look at it, nobody keeps their own rules. That if God was to put a video camera on you and record like a device to record what you're thinking and what you're actually doing, and if he was to record the judgments and the rules that you actually say that people should live by, and then he was just to show you how you think and how you live, everybody would see that nobody keeps the rules. Nobody. Absolutely nobody. 0% success rate of having 100% success. That in fact, all of us are pretty poor at keeping rules. Now, the text here sounds like he's saying the opposite, but have you ever been – you know, sometimes I come home late at night. I've had a long day. I come home 10 o'clock at night or something, and my wife and kids are watching something. Maybe they're watching a movie on Netflix, and you know, it's about two-thirds of the way through, and I sit down to watch it with them, and then maybe one of the characters says what is to me an innocuous statement, and the three of them laugh, or the three of them groan, or the three of them say, oh, no. And why do they say that? Well, because that – innocuous statement to me within the context has a very different meaning. And that's what Paul is saying here. For the trying to be right with God based on keeping rules that the person who does the commandment shall live by them, Paul has already established that nobody lives by them. That if that's what you're pinning your hope on, you're failing. You've failed already. You will always fail. You will fail. If that's what you want to live by, you'll fail. And that's very, very surprising because most people, in fact, many people in churches think that Christianity is about rule keeping or ritual keeping, but it's not. The Christian faith is based on the gospel. It's based on good news, not good advice or good rules, but good news, something that God has done that only God can do, that God sees our inability and God does what we cannot do and offers it to us as a free gift. That's the heart of the Christian faith. Let's look at the second thing. And it's in verse 6, but the righteousness based on faith, in other words, the way to be made right with God based on having just faith in what God does that we can't do, does not say, do not say in your heart, in other words, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down. And here's the second counterintuitive truth, all attempts to ascend to God to know him fail. And so when I talk to people in Starbucks or Tim Hortons or on the street and they'll quote Christopher Hitchens and a lot of modern philosophers that Christians are foolish to think that their puny thoughts can capture God and encapsulate God, I always surprise them by saying, I agree. The Bible agrees. The Bible says that that's impossible as well. that Paul is saying here that any attempt by our minds to grasp the infinite God, any attempt by our experience to grasp the infinite God, to think that by our music, our philosophy, our poetry, our that you know, our asceticism, our mysticism, that we can reach and ascend and touch and know God, that they all fail. The Bible agrees with modern skeptical philosophies. They all fail. And here's the third counterintuitive truth. All attempts to descend to God to know him fail. Look at what it says in verse 7. Well, who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. Paul is saying that the way that being made right with God, it has to be something that God does, and it going down into our depths doesn't work. This is a very, very common thing. You descend into primal experience. You descend to try to know the God within. You descend to try to know God from the most primitive markings of the earliest things in prehistory, of the most ancient things. Any attempt to go in a sense back or down, the Bible here says they all fail. They all completely and utterly fail. They're dead ends. They won't work. That they just will not work. And you see, because so here's what the Bible is saying. Now, some of you, if you've heard some of my earlier talks here, you know that the way the book of Romans is written is that in Romans 1, 16 to 17, Paul gives the basic thesis of the entire book, and everything in the book of Romans is an unpacking of Romans 1, 16 to 17. And Romans 1, 16 to 17 says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." And what this is telling us is that the news that Jesus has come and lived amongst us, that he's lived a sinless life, performed miracles, he died on the cross as an act of substitution in my place, in exchange, trading my doom for his destiny, that that is the power of God that makes us right with him, that God realizes that we cannot make ourselves right with him, and so he does what human beings cannot do. That Jesus is the one who keeps the rules for me. That's the significance of his sinless life. His perfect rule keeping and the destiny from that in the cross, when we put our faith and trust in him, his perfect rule keeping counts for my inability to keep rules. That he came down from heaven. It's not a matter that our human minds can ascend to God. It's that God comes down from heaven in the person of his Son to reveal himself to human beings. And that it's not that we can go into certain types of, whether it's evil experiences or just into the depths of dead or the death or into the past, but Jesus descends and tastes all there is to taste of death, that Jesus goes to the very, very bottom of human experience, tasting everything there is, and then rises triumphant over sin and death and all hostile spiritual powers, all spiritual powers. He rises. And when we put our hope and trust in him, that his perfect step, his destiny is ours. He takes our doom and he gives us his destiny. The gospel is the good news that by the resurrection, God has vindicated who Jesus is and what he has accomplished. See, that's the significance of the resurrection as well. Not only that it's that all that part of the ascent and the descent and the perfect rule keepings, but Jesus said he'd rise from the dead. He did rise from the dead. And that is what vindicates Jesus. It vindicates the Bible. It vindicates what Jesus teaches about the Bible, that it's authoritative and that it's God's word written. And it fits with human philosophy and the best of human philosophy. It fits with these things and it vindicates who Jesus is. So how do we get into what God has done for us? That's what verses 8, 9, and 10 says. It says, but what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and pagan, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And what this is telling here, the image is, you know how you see a lot of Hollywood movies and the hero has died. and he's dead, and you know, his friends are trying to stop the bleeding, and his friends are doing CPR, and he's just lying there. He's completely and utterly dead. And then through the use of the movie, while he's just lying there, he's doing nothing to make himself alive. Then maybe he has sees this image of his daughter, or of his son, or of his wife, or his mother, and his mother is right there present to him, calling to him to come back, and in a sense calling him back. And that's the image here that's going on in the Bible, that God crosses the infinite distance of being and time and space, that God can cross that infinite gap of time and space and being to come to you where you are, as you are, knowing who you are, knowing your helplessness, and he comes and he offers to you that you can be made right with him. He does all of that. You lie there doing nothing. You're dead. You're dying. You're not even doing the CPR trying to stop the blood. And he comes right to where you are and says, come to me. Come to me. My son has kept the rules. My son has descended from heaven. My son has gone to the depths and ascended. My son is the power of God for salvation. My son is the one who can make you right with me. My son will trade his destiny for your doom. My son, I offered it to you to be my son and my daughter. And so the Bible says only God can cross the infinite gap of time and space and being to come to you where you are, as you are, knowing who you are. And God says to us, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that I raised him, that God raised him from the dead, that God will make you right with him now and forever, right where you are. Brothers and sisters, friends, there is no better time now than to trust that Jesus really is vindicated by God, that he is the Savior, the power of God for salvation, to call out to him right now with your lips. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his death and his resurrection. Thank you that he is the power of God for salvation to all who believe. Father, bring many to a saving faith in Jesus. Friends, we end this show today by listening to the Gettys sing All Across the Land.
All creatures.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.